This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2024, held at Ephrata Business Center in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, on March 1 and 2, 2024.
Good morning. Welcome here. Thank you for your interest, your prayers, and as we tackle this difficult subject, in dealing with difficult parents, and it was an interesting journey in trying to think through what may be on your heart, and I'm glad for the confines here in such a way that we can have some open discussion in this. I would have found it easier to if my machine here works, which it, there we go, and the it, I find it easier. I would rather preach than give a topic of this nature, and so even as I was preparing, there were verses that came to mind, and I'll be incorporating just a few. But this one here from 1 Peter 5. The parents which are among you I exhort, who also am a parent. I'm in the trenches with you, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And he goes on there to give some very interesting instructions. So I have a, that didn't act the way it was supposed to. But that's fine. We'll look at all three questions. But are there teachers here today? Okay, we have a number of teachers. Are there parents here today? Lots of parents. Most are. Are there difficult parents here today? Okay, a number. This is reassuring. I wasn't sure what to expect there. I was afraid all the difficult parents would go to the other workshops. But I'm glad we have some difficult parents here, because our next concern is that they are, sometimes they send us in circles and so on, and they are particularly challenging. Now, where we're going to start today is simply this question. And I'm going to invite open discussion. I thought of doing an Arlen job of just having you discuss it among yourselves, but I think we'll just do an open discussion. I've enjoyed the open discussion that we have had so far. But what are we talking about when we talk about difficult parents? What's the problem? Just in a few words. What is a difficult parent?
Someone who...
Pardon?
They have their own agenda.
They have their own agenda. Good. And over here.
Difficulty in communicating.
Okay. There's difficulty in communicating.
Either on my part or their part.
Okay.
Quick and to make assumptions.
Quick to make assumptions. Excellent. What else?
Push for short-term results.
Pardon?
Push for short-term results.
In contrast to
taking time for longer term results, yeah, giving some space to develop over time.
And I think there was one up here.
Makes a teacher feel threatened. That's often what I think of a difficult parent, someone who you feel threatened by.
Okay, what else?
Someone's child is always right.
Okay. He says, someone whose child is always right. But isn't that a blessing when you have somebody who just doesn't make mistakes? Okay, and there was another one in the back.
Same thought as was mentioned here.
Okay.
Go to school because we have to go to school.
Ah, okay. Parents who their children just have to go to school because it's required. Okay.
They lack respect for school authority.
They lack respect for authority. I'm going to leave the school out at this point, but because usually if they lack respect for school authority, it's a bigger issue. Okay, what else?
Along with that, they view the school faculty and board as the enemy.
Eek. Okay, school faculty and board are the enemy. That's a rough one.
They share the same problems as their child.
Oh my. Parents with the same problem their children have. I think we'll quit. I don't know where I'm going to go. This is getting difficult. No, this is extremely helpful. What else?
Lack of interest in school function or learning how school operates.
Okay, a lack of interest.
Defending their child by saying, I had problems in math too.
Okay. I wish I had a way to put these all on the board quickly in front of you, because these are extremely helpful. If we can begin to identify some of these issues, once we have a clear picture of the problem, it's easier to find a solution. Let's say it that way. All of us at times work with difficult people. It's just life's like that. And unfortunately, is that true? I think it's true. All of us are at times difficult to work with. I mean, if I would agree with you, then we'd both be wrong. When I'm right and you're not, then why wouldn't I stand up for the truth, right? And yes, the simple truth is that all of us are at times difficult to work with. And so I think we do well in being just a little, cautious, gracious. It should help us in working with difficult parents when we recognize that time and again we are in those shoes ourselves. And so then I thought maybe the verse should read this way. We are fine. We need to exhort the difficult parents that are among us, but let's remember that we too are at times difficult parents to work with and and have similar challenges. I am going to, as I was pondering this, I was wondering, is working with difficult parents a new thing? Is this a recent phenomenon since COVID? Parents are more difficult to work with. Unfortunately not. I was wondering what it would have been like to have students in yesteryear in school that probably somebody did. How would you have liked to have Esau and Jacob in your class? And you have some issues, maybe especially with Esau, only to discover that mom thinks that Jacob is just the best thing that ever came down the pike, and dad says, it's Esau. Can you imagine working with a situation like that in your classroom? How would you like to have Samson for a student? I don't know if Mr. and Mrs. Minot were difficult to work with or not, but you would have had your hands full with a Samson. How would you like to have Ishmael in your class? Only to find out that this godly man, supposedly, father of faith, was in fact the father of this boy, and she was a Egyptian servant girl. And all of a sudden things get messy, really messy. And somebody was working with these people. Wonder how you'd like to have Solomon in your class. As smart as a whip, but again, messy home situation. Ponder House, Solomon's mom came to her husband, his dad, and the situations that surrounded that. As I began reflecting on that, I said, wow, difficult parent situations, dysfunctional home situations, I almost could say have been the norm. These have been, life has been that way up through, and COVID didn't fix it, and you're not going to either totally. In fact, I heard some kind of depressing things at devotions this morning. I heard him say, you can't fix the problem. And I was going, oh boy, I was going to help these people fix problems. But no, I know where I don't have criticism for that. You know, if I'd ask you to name the perfect parents, the parents that don't have any issues, or does that describe you? Does that describe the parents that send their children to your school? Unfortunately not. None of us are perfect parents, and none of us work with perfect parents. You know, Adam and Eve, I guess, were perfect parents, at least to start with, and from there forward, we get to work with imperfect parents. Now, the good news at the same time is that there are many solid, godly homes and parents that we can work with, and they are supportive, and they care, and they cooperate, and they are concerned for, and listen when we talk, and so on. And so that's a tremendous blessing as well. But there are indeed many needy and somewhat dysfunctional homes among us. And I don't know, that's outside the scope of our topic this morning. Some time ago at Faith Mission Home, there were so many staff that came from, I'm just going to say, needy or dysfunctional homes, that we actually had a special session, and I was given the responsibility to address to the staff, how should you as a young person deal with the dilemma of coming from a home situation that's dysfunctional in whatever way? And you can fill in the blanks of the dysfunctionality in whatever way you want to. And it is indeed a very challenging situation. Well, let's at least, what I'm going to do is I think six principles here, just basic ideas that I hope will help us, and we'll have some discussion as we go along. But just in the big picture of things, where do children come from? Kind of an obvious question, and yet one that I think it helps us to understand working with difficult parents or difficult situations. If we understand this, you know, the question that I asked next there, who are these with thee, was the question that Esau asked Jacob when they met. Jacob was on his way back home. Esau came to meet him with 400 men. Jacob was terrified. He set his children in unique ranks there. And then as Esau approached, he looked and he said, who are these with thee? And I've used this for a springboard for a message betimes, because it helps us to consider. It helps us in our child training program if we answer that question right. We may well ask, who owns the children? Who made the children? Where do they come from? And of course, we know that our children come from God. And yet, if we make that practical, it answers a lot of questions. And if we can help our parents to see that, and yet, right now, we'll be putting on the teacher hat here first. From a teacher perspective, it is important that we recognize that God has given this child to the parents that he has given them to, imperfect though they are. It's not our child, it's the parents' child. And the children in our school are our parents' children. God is going to be holding them accountable, And it is a tremendous asset if we can, most parents, I think, understand this and accept it and so on, but if we can help them to see that this child is ultimately your responsibility and we are going to be coming alongside and helping, but we need, time and again, we need to adjust our thinking to the fact that this is not our child. The parent, this is the parent's child. Number two, it helps us if we understand our workflow chart. And this is very basic, but I want to especially just share this, my heart, with the teachers here. Who is working for who? I already asked the question, whose child is it? And we know it's the parent's. And the second idea here is that as a teacher, we are the servants of the parents. We are assisting them in their goals. We want to do what the parent wants done. Parents, usually, they have ideals, plans. They have goals for their children. Let's understand what those are. Now, you are accountable to the school board, to be sure, and to the parents, ultimately to God. And you know, another thing that I pondered is your paycheck. Where does it come from? Who's paying you? Well, the school board is. The secretary brings me my check. Who's giving the secretary the money? Parents are. For the most part, and there's different ways of funding a school. But your pay is coming from the parents. You do well to have a very open ear to what the parents' wishes and desires and so on. Of course, we are accountable to the school board, we're accountable to the parents, we're ultimately accountable to God, and I feel like that, understanding that helps us to respect the parents' perspective, and as we work with parents, it is very important to be polite, to be professional, to use that kind of language and tone in relating with parents. What would you like to address at this point? And we're going to be changing now the focus just a little bit. Anything you want to add to the first two points here? Let's go on. I think the best way possibly in dealing with difficult parents is to prevent difficult parents. And oftentimes, as I should compare now, look back over, you know, when I look at the problems that you gave, the difficulty in communication, being quick to assume things, a parent that is pushing for short-term results or feels threatened, is opinionated or unappreciative. As we think about those kinds of parents, could the problem have been prevented? Now, maybe it just blows in your face without warning and so on, and I acknowledge that. But usually not. Generally, things build up over time. And perhaps we can look at a few examples later on. But as a parent, I mean, as a teacher and as a school board, wise you are if you are perceptive to situations that are beginning and can address those problems when they are tiny rather than waiting until there's a confrontational situation that develops. And so the be alert to communication issues or respect issues or authority challenging issues. These are, like I said, typically they are not things that just pop up overnight. They've been there. There have been check engine lights that have been on for a time. Another point in preventing difficult parents is the thing of building relationships, and we'll, this could be a topic in itself, but to have communication and relationship with the parents to where there is trust and respect, where they understand you and you understand them, is just a critical factor in this, in preventing or in dealing with. You know, we had things like difficulty in communication. Well, that's a key factor. Are we building the relationship? What do you do in your schools to build relationship with parents, to build trust? What are some ways to do that? Yes.
We have an annual PTE where the parents have specific time with each of their child's teachers and also with the board. It's a pretty heavy day. Like if you're doing the whole patron body, it's about a 10-hour day from the board's side, but it's really a valuable time because the parents are able to, the board is able to hear from them.
So the thought here is, given that there's an annual PTE, parent-teacher evaluation, where parents have opportunity to meet with teachers and with board. What kind of a format do you have for that? I mean, the board is obviously present for the whole day.
Yeah, we usually have two three stations to get people through, and at least two board members are in each station, and then everybody has their allotted time slot, and the parents come in and just say what they're thinking.
Right. He's saying that the board is divided into two stations, and the parents, when they come, do they meet with the teacher too?
Oh yes. If they have more than one student, each teacher is 10 minutes. You have it's a 10-minute slot with everybody.
You have a 10-minute slot with the teacher, and then they also meet with the school board or have a 10-minute slot there perhaps?
Exactly.
Wow. Interesting. We have, after first and third quarter, we call it PTC, Parent-Teacher Conference. We have a 20-minute slot, very similar, but not with the board. It's just that parents and teachers have opportunity to spend that time together. As a teacher, especially initially, I looked forward to it about as much as I did having this topic today. And, so the parent comes in and, so how do you start the conversation and so on? Well, I soon got across that to where, and in fact, I'd recommend something of this nature. Mom and Dad would come in and sit down, and before they ask me a question that I have to sputter on, I ask them, so what's Junior say about school? How are things, what's the perspective you hear at home? And that was a great way, I found, to start a conversation. And, this and that, and maybe then the conversation just went from there. But yes, build communication in that way is very valuable. What else? How do you build trust, communication, relationship?
We do the parent-teacher conferences almost identical to what you just described, but then we also do, I believe it's twice a year, parent-teacher fellowship, which is all the teachers, the board, which is generally all parents, and all the parents, teachers, everybody, and we'll have either a speaker, a topic, or just an evening of fellowship, visiting and sharing. And they'll often give time for parents to share to the whole group if there's something they'd like to bring up to discuss.
Any difficult parents bring up touchy issues at a setting like that?
I don't think I've brought anything. Generally, the tough issues don't come up at that, but once in a while,
right. Something
will come up that needs to be addressed and it can be discussed there. So.
All right. Very well. Yes?
I once heard of a principal that took over in a difficult school situation, and he took each of the dads out for lunch within the first several months of school starting on his own, just to build that relationship and hear them out. It was 20 patrons or so.
Wow. That's a lot of food and a lot of days. Apparently Saturdays? I mean, how did he do it during the week?
It was over a span of a few months, but it was near the beginning of school.
Yeah.
Just went down the list one by one.
take your difficult parents out for a steak dinner and sit across the table on a cup of coffee and see what that'll do.
If there's a like a game plan or action items that you talk about, like follow through right away, and maybe even go above and beyond.
Okay, go above and beyond an action plan that's there.
So we got some students and some teachers in here, and one thing we can do is we know we kind of have the mentor school touchy. Is there anything at all that we can reach out to the parents about that their student did and that's positive? Like, just text a picture, hey, scored 100% on this test, super proud of them, you know, did a great job today.
That is such an important detail. I was actually going to include that. You know, any parent at supper time that gets a call from teacher or principal, oh no, what is Johnny into now? And you pick up the phone and lo and behold, it's teacher. And so, okay, good evening, now what? Hey, Johnny just had a great day, got 100% on his test. I am just delighted that he is a student in my class, and I just wanted you to know. Dad's going to have trouble with the rest of his supper. He'll just be floating around. I mean, that kind of a call can work miracles in relationships. Give parents the benefit of the doubt. So important. Another little detail that I'd like to just encourage us in, you know, sometimes we think we know what a home is like, or what parents are facing. You don't know. You don't know that their bank account is dry. You don't know if they're facing a particular, maybe there's been a health issue with wife and husband is at his wit's end and then Johnny's having trouble in school. And all you see is Johnny and you don't know what's going on at home. You may have some ideas, but you don't know what's going on there. And if you can remember that as you deal with a difficult situation, there may be a reason why there's a difficult parental situation. Maybe the money isn't reaching or health issues or whatever it is. Another way to prevent difficult parents, don't compare one child to others in the school, in the church. Very devastating. You won't build trust doing that in comparing them together. Be proactive is kind of my punchline in the thing of preventing difficult parents. There an ounce of prevention will do you better than a pound of cure. Another principle in preventing difficult parents is to make your first parent interaction a positive experience. You never get a second chance to make a good first impression. As you deal with, even with difficult situations, be welcoming, friendly, informative, and especially so on your initial contact with parents. You know, as I think about the thing of relationships, difficult parents almost always illustrate some poor relationships on some level. If they're having issues with you at school, very likely there's issues between Dad and Johnny at home. Maybe between husband and wife. What you see at school is probably the tip of an iceberg. And so as you notice or as you see those relationship issues, consider that. Do you have a thought? A fundamental goal in preventing difficult situations is to build trust. I guess we've already addressed that just a little bit, but building trust with a distrusting difficult parent. I was going to have this as an open discussion item, but I feel like we've already talked about that, unless there's somebody else that just wants to add something to it in the thing of building trust with a parent who doesn't trust you. Where do you go from there? Like I said, I've already mentioned some things. That phone call at supper time on when there even was just a, a little bit of improvement or something that you can report in a positive way will stand you in really good stead.
Don't text message.
You say don't text message.
Yeah. I had teachers that did text and it didn't work well. So if you're not going to build trust with a difficult parent or during challenging times because there's no tonality to the text message.
So what was the last part?
There's no tonality.
Oh, okay.
They can read between the lines.
Interesting. Somebody want to add to that? He says, don't text message. Yes.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. We had an issue in our school where the parents complained about constantly getting negative texts from the teacher. And it's okay to point out areas of difficulty, but a text is a cop out. Like, do it in person.
Okay.
And you don't want to get negative texts all the time.
I was going to ask, is that negative and positive or just negative?
So what I actually recommend, if you can't actually do a phone call, which may not always work, or meet the mom or dad at the bus stop kind of thing, leave a voice, because you can actually, you have more expression in it than you do.
So even if they don't, if you can't get a hold of them, leave a voice message rather than a text message.
One thing with the text that can be good, maybe not in saying what the negative thing is, but what you're going to do, is that it's recorded. The voice message would be the same if you have that. But we found it for the one situation. It's really important to know that you said what you said because the parent is not honest. And so it's helpful to have it in writing for both of you. If you ever need to, you can look back and say, well, I did actually tell them, even if they're telling you that you didn't tell them.
So I have a question for you. Do you actually recommend if it gets difficult enough to do a group then?
To have what?
To have a group, not just one-on-one.
That would be helpful. Include multiple people. And the one thing I've started doing now as well is if I'm on the phone, that my wife is in the hearing the conversation. So it's not just myself in the conversation.
Or if you're like responsible to relate something kind of difficult to a parent, you can like do a WhatsApp voice message and often just like forward that. Just as soon as it's sent, I'll forward it to our chairman to say, hey, this is what I related and this is what the parent heard. And we see what we get back, I guess,
The voice message would be good because then the tone is communicated, but just somehow that it's recorded, that you know what you said and other people can know what you said.
The unique thing about a text message, I would have actually given a couple of positives on that. We had a teacher that was working with a daily situation with a child, maybe with crying in school, melting down just on any situation. And mom wanted to know, did my child cry in school today? And a text message was just a quick way to communicate that, just a daily update. But anything of consequence, I'm with you 100%.
To give more context to that is that it will work well if you have the foundation built, but if you don't have the foundation built, then...
Okay, that would give context to it. We need to move on. Remember the fact that you are in partnership with the parents in accomplishing schooling, education, if you please. Education is a big thing. It's not just you. Mom and Dad are educating, you're educating, they're educating at church, being educated by media, whatnot, but education is a big picture. But you are in partnership, and both parties have rights and expectations and responsibilities, or it ceases to be a smooth-running partnership. And I was going to actually, if I had a grease board here, I would love to list as we did at the beginning. So what are some teachers' responsibilities and or expectations that you would have? What do you expect as a teacher? Maybe I'll just cover a few of these because I want to get to our fifth item here. But what I was thinking of is that the teacher's expectations are things like, okay, so you expect, you are responsible to teach academics, to build character, to see after social development, and some expectations that you as a teacher might have is that the child gets a good night of sleep, that he has a good breakfast before he comes to school, etc. Those are expectations that you as a teacher might have. What are some expectations that parents have? Yes.
This is more of a plus. It's not, I don't know if I'd expect it, but I just loved it that one of our teachers this year, she will just send out, she has a WhatsApp chat with us, and she will just send out history test tomorrow, or, you know, this and this is going on tomorrow. So it just keeps you alert without, you know, I don't drive to school, so I don't, you know, go in and say hi and, you know, what's going on, you know, and so she's just keeping us up to date. It's totally, you know, helpful. You know, I can check with my child, did you study for the history test, you know, it's just so nice.
Very interesting. You know, we expect things from teachers. We expect that the child is safe, that they're taught, that they're given their the three R's, and so on are things that as teachers that or as parents, they have a right to expect. And so when parents and teachers have different interpretations or evaluations, or let's just say it this way, parents and teachers may have different interpretations and evaluations of a student's strengths, weaknesses, needs, and achievement, and so on. And it's important to mesh these two lists, the expectation of the parents and the expectation of teachers. Number five was the difficult one for me. So we have, there are times when there are confrontations. Teachers may face the challenge of dealing with difficult parents who have unrealistic expectations. Perhaps they have unreasonable demands. They may exhibit hostile attitudes. And, you know, I really hope I'm talking to a group of people that say, what's that? They don't know what any of these things are. But truthfully, we do have that. I suppose all of us have been there to one extent or another. One thing that I think of is that when there is a, let's just say that the child has is challenging authority at home, very likely he's challenging authority at school. At school he's challenging authority at home. And oftentimes worse, there are situations where the child, you can work with it at school because you draw lines and it works. You know it's not working at home, and maybe parents even tell you that it's not. But as I think of confrontation, I think it's important to help parents to see that when they are critical of school, they are actually shooting themselves in the foot. They are hindering something for which they are paying. They're letting the air out of their own tires. They're making it tough for themselves. And you need to say that in a nice way, but I think it is helpful if they can see it from that perspective. Another thing that I think we need to do in a difficult, in a confrontational situation, is to listen. Listen to your critics. Somebody has said they're God's unpaid, supervisors or something of your school. Because often there's a bit of truth there. If they come and pitch a fit on what's happening on the playground, and they're just not happy with what's going on there, you better check what's going on the playground. Maybe there is some shred of truth that is there that you can improve on. Thank them for that in that confrontation instead of fighting it. As you face a confrontational situation, be open-minded. Listen to your parents' concerns. Try to understand their perspective. one thing that I think of is simply, I have seen a significant swing of change in parenting in my few years of life. Relationship is not the buzzword that it was in yesteryear. Today, there's many children that grow up and they think they're the center of the universe. And there's parents that almost foster that. There's a push toward letting the child be somebody and develop himself and choose his own gender. And, you know, that attitude is all over our culture, and it impacts us. It simply does. We find it coming into our schools. And so we need to be open-minded. Another thought that I have in being confrontational is, as when you call for a parent-teacher conference where there's an issue, a lack of respect or discipline problem or whatever, be prepared. Have your own ducks in a row. Not that you're going to give them both barrels when they walk in the door, no, but document the issues so that when parent says, where has Johnny been disrespectful, you can say here and here and here. These are the situations that I was dealing with. If you're just, well, it's just been kind of a problem in the last 2 weeks. That doesn't help the parent find his way with this situation. So do your own homework in that. In spite of it being a tough situation, please be respectful as you deal with a parent. Avoid being defensive. Don't be confrontational. Be polite. Focus on the facts and the potential solutions. Control emotions. Don't push blame. There's so much that can be done to defuse a situation. And then another idea, and I'm going to give you two sides of this one here in a personal experience, but to set boundaries and expectations. Don't allow yourself to be pressured or intimidated by threats and insults. And then there's another key point that I decided to include here, and that's know when to end the conversation and go for help. Now, right now we're still talking parent and teacher situation, but sometimes things escalate. Parents will literally get angry or whatever. Know when to simply bow out and say, we need to talk to other whatever, teachers, school board, chairman, pastor, administrator. In other words, to get help. We need this needs other assistance. And situation that I was involved in, a parent was a helicopter parent. They were not from our church, but from another neighboring congregation. There's a holiness Pentecostal group that easily fits within our structure. They don't have television, and they were happy to wear veiling and whatnot. The handbook was not a problem. So their children have attended our school through the years. But one of those parents, when their child came to first grade, the mother insisted on just sitting there in the classroom, sitting beside the child's desk, helping them, and drove the teacher up the wall. And finally, we encouraged the teacher to be okay with it and work with it. And this went on for a long time, and then finally the parent began to pick fault with the teacher. She doesn't this and she doesn't that. The other children were doing fine, and she wasn't. And finally we had to call a meeting and discuss this situation. And it was a rather tense interchange because she just felt like she was doing her part and taking care of the child, her child. And finally they said they think they're going to withdraw the child from school. They're going to go elsewhere. And we said, that's fine. But let it be known, if you do this, then your child is not welcome back. Because they were actually going to go to public school, I think. We said, if you take your child out and go to public school, the child is not welcome to return. They said, it's no problem. They took the child out. I think they went to a Baptist school, as I remember. It's been many years ago. But toward the beginning of the next year, I got a call from this mom. They said, we need to have a meeting. I said, oh, this is interesting. Well, we had a meeting. Husband and wife came, met with us. And I don't know that I've ever seen so much egg on one face. They said we were foolish in doing what we did. They said, we want to come back. I said, don't you remember what we said? They said, yes, we know. But we were wrong, and we will do anything. You make the list, we will do it. If you don't want us to visit, we will never enter the classroom. You just say what needs to be done, and we will do it. Well, in spite of being firm and setting boundaries, we let them come back. And we had a great school experience. They went through 12th grade and graduated. I was at the girl's wedding a few years after school. We were friends. My concluding point is this. When a parent rocks the boat, give them an oar. And what I mean by that is simply, many parents want to be more involved. And so they're sticking their nose in, they're visiting, they have ideas, and sometimes we pick it up as disrespect. Give them a responsibility. Let them substitute even, or something, but get them involved, and all of a sudden, you may be surprised what happens with that. I heard of a situation just yesterday. I was discussing this with another brother here, and he said there was a parent who was not supportive at all, and time went on, and they gave him responsibility in school, and later he was voted on the school board and later became chairman of their school board, whereas when he was first there, he had all the answers if you could just come up with the right questions. And that completely changed when he himself stepped into the classroom or on the school board or whatever, it was given responsibilities. So as much as possible, give them an order. Somebody have a concluding thought that you want to give or question? Our time is basically up. Yes?
I'd love to ask the question. You're talking about parents and teachers. How about if the difficult teachers is against the whole board?
You said difficult teacher is against...
No. I'm sorry. Parents and the board. Non-workable.
There are, I was going to actually mention this on one of the previous points. There are times when a parent has an expectation that you can't meet. If a parent says, I want my second grader to learn French or I'm out of here, you probably better go with the out of here. There are things we can do and things we can't do. And that was a very fundamental thing that we worked with this child, a parent situation that I was giving. As an example, we said there are things we can do and there's things we can't do. This, our first grade teacher does not have college education. She's not going to have. She was doing a fine job. She was probably a little inexperienced. Parent was just so critical. And we said, this is what we offer. You know, take it or leave it. And they said, we leave it. And then they came back on hands and knees begging for us to take it. So, but... there may be times when it comes to a take it or leave it. This is what we offer. Can you support what we have? And maybe I decided to not put the reference down to this verse because it's not in King James, but I thought it may be something that would fit in with some of the teacher situations here. So maybe you can even take pleasure in difficult parents, because when you're weak, then you know God is with you and he's going to provide for you. Thank you for your attention. You are dismissed.